This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Gerthwind, Jazakallah khairan for joining us on the program.
The nikah is valid, remember this, but it's haram for the husband. He wants to play with his wife, but he doesn't want to pay, you know. So you're taking all the benefit, but you're not doing so. That's haram, my brother. Your nikah is valid, remember that. But now my suggestion to you, this is a suggestion. You told her that, darling, I am going to pay you mahar 1,000 rand. Mahar is the marital gift. So now you deferred it, delayed it 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, but you still fulfilling your conjugal rights with her. So now when you pay, tell her that it's 1,000 rand, the mahar, another 1,000 rand is a gift from me. The wife didn't make it a condition, so it's not interest. So you on your own, therefore when I deliver nikah lectures, always tell the husband to be, because we deliver the lecture before the nikah, before the ceremony, the marriage ceremony and solemnizing the nikah. So we tell them, brother, that you are paying mahar now, 1 Kruger coin or 5,000 rand, 15, 20,000 rand, whatever you are paying. But remember my advice to you that you should keep on giving her mahar every week, every month, every 2 months, according to your means. What do we mean you should keep on giving her mahar? It means a gift you should give her when she least expects it. Oh, honey, take this money. Oh, my poppy, my darling. Oh, poppy, take this popo. So you must remember in that case there, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, we will be reviving. And how important it is in this day and this age, especially husband, wife, parents, children, siblings, tahadu, tahabu, give gifts to one another, and that will increase and enhance the muhabbat, the love, and the compassion, and so forth. Between a husband and wife, there must be, it's normal, some disagreement, some argument, but innal hadiyata tuzhibu al-baghain. When you give the gift to one another, it removes the malice, the rancor, the hatred. Allah Jalla wa Ala removes that and replaces it with love and affection. And then when a husband and wife meet, remember, it's not only the bodies meeting, it's the hearts meeting. And once the hearts meet, then there's unity of thought. And once there's unity of thought, then you can be in the plane. And you experience turbulence. You can be in the ship and the boat, and the waves can be coming. You can be in the car and experiencing potholes like South Africa. So you must remember, still you will be united. Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Ya Allah, Jalla wa Ala, your name Mubarak, your honorable name is Wadud. You are the creator of love. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. Oh Allah, unite our hearts with love, peace, compassion. Can you bring a better system than Islam? Never ever the best, so share it with the rest. So you must remember, if you receive the talaq, that in March or whatever you, but the paper, it signed everything, and you must remember, it's showing you December 2020. So in most cases, we will say that the iddat is already expired. December passed, January passed, February passed, March passed, now is already April. So you must remember that the iddat period, waiting period, Quran Kareem teaches us, Salah Sataquru is 3 menses. So that is the Hanafi school and the Hanbali school, and the Shafi'is and the Malikis say 3 periods of cleanliness. So you people, the masses, don't say 3 months. 3 months is wrong. You must remember, you must say 3 menses, or you say that Hanafi Hanbali, or you say 3 periods of cleanliness. So that is what is meant by that verse there. So in a case like that, most probably it's already done and dusted, so your iddat is finished. It's not from the time that you come to know. Remember, it's the time when the husband uttered it or he wrote it. And if you want a reference of the verse, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 228, Almighty Allah has mentioned Salat al-Quru. So you should know your situation. 3 menses already passed from the date on the talaq nama, on the talaq paper, Urdu they say talaq nama, so, and divorce paper, the divorce document. So if 3 menses pass after that, then you're already out of iddat and finish, you at liberty now. If you want to marry somebody else, that is your prerogative and your choice. MashaAllah, you must remember that today is the 21st, right? So now we must remember that tomorrow will be Monday. So tomorrow, Monday, will be the 5th of April. So the following Monday, so that will be the 29th of Sha'ban. So that will be the night we have to scan the sky. So that will be on the 12th of April, Monday night. But in South Africa, it's 13 hours and so forth. So the chances are very, very slim. We must do our duty, whether we're in Cape or Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town, PE, wherever. So we must do our duty and look for the moon. But from a scientific point of view and so forth, the chances are very, very slim. Yes, in Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, there it's 50-50. There the moon samis are very sharp with the moon, you know. So I always say there the moon samis are a bit sharp. So by us, what will happen is, then we will go to Tuesday, which will be the 30th of Shaban. Then the Tuesday night will be Tarawih in South Africa. And Wednesday, the 14th of April, inshallah al-Aziz, will be the 1st of Ramadan. So that is what you will see in all the calendars and what you will see in all the Ramadan timetables and so forth. But there might be some other countries in the world, you know, where maybe they cite it and so forth. So obviously that they'll follow their citing and so forth. But for us here, South Africa, Southern Africa, remember, is very, very highly unlikely that we will see the moon on the 12th of April, that Monday evening. So the Shaban will go to 30, and then on the Tuesday evening will be first Tarawih, and then Wednesday 14, the first Siyam, the first Som, the first fasting. So you, my brothers, who are reading, performing Tarawih, you the Imam, you should be ready from Monday also. We don't know, somebody just see the moon somewhere, you know. Sometimes karamat happens also. So anyway, you must remember, let us all beg all might Allah, Allah Jalla Wala, let us experience a quality Ramadan, inshallah Aziz.
Mufti Sahib, this parent says that my daughter started his this year. What do I ask to read to make it easy for her to memorize?
I just mentioned it just now. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala who came to Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained that I'm learning, I forget, I learn, I forget. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the night of Friday, Laylatul Jumu'ah, after Maghrib, after Isha, anytime. So you read 4 rakat salat, Surah Fatiha, Surah Yasin. Thereafter, second rakat, second unit, Surah Fatiha, Surah Dukhan, chapter 44. Third rakat, Surah Fatiha, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. And fourth rakat, Surah Fatiha and Surah Mulk. And if you study the hadith in Tirmidhi, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Ali, oh my beloved son-in-law, you do it 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 7 weeks. So in that way there, Sayyidina Ali did it, and lo and behold, he says, Fama nasitu ba'du, I should not forget. To you, my beti, my daughter, my son, my beta, but remember, you are becoming a hafiz, so you should always remember, this Quran Sharif is wahi and revelation. The ahadith mubarakah is revelation. And remember, is not studying the history of South Africa or history of Hammanskraal or Hong Kong or somewhere. So you must remember, is wahi. Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, who was a genius par excellence, he was born in Gaza in Palestine in 150. He passes away in Cairo, Egypt in 204. He only lived for 54 years, but look at the legacy. At the age of 7, he completed Hifz, and he was Hafiz already. At the age of 10, he by heart memorized the work of his teacher, Imam Malik's work, Mu'atta Malik. His first teacher, and he was the Mufti of Makkah, an African person, Muslim bin Ibrahim Zanji, at the age of 15, gave him permission. You know, those days the teacher gives you permission. All the certificates, all the came out now business. Those days, that's the proper way, the teacher gives you permission, so you must remember. remember that. So he told, he said, you can give permission, you can give a fatwa and verdict and so forth. So you must remember that he, why I'm telling you all this, so he had such a powerful retentive memory, but when he went to his teacher gave him some advice. And if you want a reference of this, open Diwanu Shafi'i, you will find it. Imam Shafi'i says, Shakautu ila waki in suwa hifdi. I went to my teacher, Waki bin Jarrah, and then I asked him, and I told him, my memory is getting weaker and weaker. فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي. He told me, stay away from vices and sins. So you, my sons, daughters, ulama, stay away from TV. Take that TV out of your house and just throw it away. So you must remember that, because you bring the shaitan, the poison in the house, all the rahmat, barakat goes away. Remember that. شَكَوْتُ إِلَىٰ وَكِي إِنْ سُوَىٰ حِفْذِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ مِّنْ إِلَٰهِ. That the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah is noor, radiance, effulgence from Almighty Allah. وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُؤْتَىٰ لِعَاصِي. And this noor, radiance and effulgence of Almighty Allah is not given to people who continue and persist with their vices and sins. You see so many people. Go to any madrasa, Darul Uloom, Darul Tahfiz, Darul Uloom, and see. So many students are studying, but you will see drop out. So many of them complete with me, with myself. So you must remember, so many youngsters became Hafiz. And if you ask them, they'll just look down and say, I forgot everything. In our families, we will see. You yourself, you went to madrasa, and you learn surah wadduha downwards. If we ask you, read Iqra bismi, lam yakun alladhina, you say, ayazi, I forgot it, I don't know it. So why? We neglected the Quran. We must be learning more and more, and not forgetting more and more. So remember, this is the result, direct result and consequences of our going and getting involved and engrossed in vices and sins. So that's a big, big lesson for each one of us. If you want to preserve this knowledge of Quran Sharif and Sunnah Mubarakah, then the prerequisite is stay away from vices and sins.
We'll take each one and answer it independently, separately.
Regarding the miswak, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل صلاة فأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل هدوء. You will find it even in Bukhari Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, every hadith kitab almost, you will find the importance of miswak. Those of you who don't understand the importance of miswak, because we do have some non-Muslim listeners, Alhamdulillah, we thank Almighty Allah as well for all these bounties that are recurring, showering upon us. Miswak is like a stick which we use to cleanse our mouth and teeth and so forth. So can we use that whilst we are fasting? So remember, the fatwa is thus totally in the afternoon, evening, all that permissible. The Hanafis, the Malikis, the Shafi'is all say permissible, and Hanbalis. Regarding Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, you will find in certain books and undesirable. But Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, in his Sunan Jami of Imam Tirmidhi, he wrote that in Imam Shafi says it's permissible. Allama Nawawi rahimahullah, commenting on this, says that the dalil that is there is very good. So remember that the Shafi scholars today, some of them or many of them, even they pass the fatwa according to majority scholars, that if a person follows the Shafi school of jurisprudence, he or she uses the miswak, the stick, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, totally permissible, no makruh, nothing. So that's the first issue. Second issue, you know, modernization, globalization has now changed everything. So people, wherever there's a niche market, they want to make money. So you get, you must remember, the flavored miswaks. And now if you use that, remember, there's a flavor with it, strawberry flavor, chocolate flavor, this flavor, whatever flavor. Now you use that and you swallow that. Remember that your fast will be broken and qaza will be compulsory. So that's the first issue. Second issue, whilst a person is fasting, he or she, now they woke up 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and now they want to use the toothbrush and the toothpaste and so forth to go to shop, to go to job and so forth. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَخَلُوفُ فَمِصَائِمِ أَتْيَبُ إِنْتَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمَسْكِ. That that odor that emanates from the fasting person's mouth is more beloved to Almighty Allah than the fragrance of musk. So therefore it is again irreprehensible and undesirable for a person to be using the toothpaste and toothbrush and so forth whilst you are fasting. Night time you use it after Maghrib, after Isha. Suhoor time, pre-dawn meal is no problem. So that is first issue. Second issue, whilst you are using the toothpaste, whilst you are fasting, and by mistake some of the toothpaste went down and you swallowed it, remember your fast will be broken and qada will be compulsory. Then the next issue will be, one is miswak, one is toothpaste and mouthwash and so forth. Again, the same law will apply. You want to use mouthwash and what have you, during the night, totally permissible. During the day, remember here, it is reprehensible and unadvisable, undesirable, makruh. And if something goes down because your aim is to remove the odor, so in a case like that, if something goes down, albeit by mistake and unintentionally, your fast will break and remember, qada will be compulsory. So therefore, we should know all these type of issues. And again, at this juncture, we have to thank the capital group, Abu Haji Muhammad Ikhlas and his team there, mashallah, when we were in Durban, all the venues, whether it was Verlam, whether Marisburg, whether the Sufi Masjid there, where Hafiz Uwais Sufi is, or the Phoenix, or Port Chepstone, or Avondale, mashallah, Hafiz Muhammad Basa, and the team, they were distributing and giving out, you know, the Ramadan Q&A. In fact, all got finished there. So very, very good, and mashallah, now study it, read it. Most of the issues you want to know, you will find it in that book, inshallah. Make dua for the capital team, Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, and for us, the Markaz Sahaba team, and all the other teams, Radio Al-Ansar International, Sirius FM as well. Remember that if a person ate or drank and consumed something haram, and you are sure that it was unintentionally, then read the following dua, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 286. You know Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, is the longest surah, chapter in the Noble Quran. It comprises 286 verses. So this is the last verse. What does the verse teach us? ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Oh, our beloved Allah, we petition you, we beg you, لا تؤاخذنا, do not take us to task, do not punish us for that speech, for that actions, for those deeds, إن نسينا, which we did forgetfully, أو أخطأنا, or inadvertently, unintentionally. So you did not know, and remember you ate, you drank, and then subsequently you came to know it's haram. Read and perform 2 rakat, salatu tawbah, beg Almighty Allah, and read this one sentence at least, رَبَّنَا لَا تُعَخِذْنَا إِنَّ سِينَهُ أَخْطَانَا abundantly. Almighty Allah is of forgiving, very forgiving, not only for Laylatul Qadr, for the night of destiny and majesty, but even now we should be reading it. Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, the honorable spouse and wife of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I know it is the night of Qadr, majesty, destiny, power, which dua should I read? Read, O Aisha Siddiqah radiallahu anha. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, beloved Allah, you are of forgiving, very forgiving. You love to forgive. Fa'afu anni, forgive me. Fa'afu anna, forgive us. The hadith in Tirmidhi, authentic hadith. So read it now also. However, my brother, my sister, we know we are interacting with so many people. always in life, use these two hadiths and it will save you so many problems. And both the hadiths are sahih. I'll give you the references and the reporter as well. So Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anh, the beloved Nawasa, the beloved grandson of Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam, addressing him, Sibtu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his grandson is Nawasa. Da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Hopeful, leave that which places you in doubt. Leave that which puts you into doubt. And offer that in which there is no doubt. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. So always use that as a criteria. Second one, Wabisa radiallahu ta'ala and Wabisa bin Mahbad, his name radiallahu anhu. He came to the Master alayhi salatu salam and asked, Mal ismu ya Rasulullah? That what is albirru, piety, goodness, and what is a sin? The Master alayhi salam said, goodness is taqwallah. We carry out the do's, we abstain from the don'ts simultaneously. Wa husnul khuluq, and good character. We don't harm people, and we rather become an asset to society and the community. What is al-ithmu ya Rasulullah? What is the definition of a sin and vices? Look at the Master alayhi salatu salam explaining, ma haka fi sadrik, that works, agitates your conscience. You say, mera dil kabul nahi karta hai. Mera dil isko gawara nahi karta hai. I can't accept it. My conscience does not accept. So mahaka fi sadrik, it agitates your conscience, your heart, your mind. Wa karihta ayyatfali alayhi nas, and you dislike and you detest the people, the public must come to know about it. Then Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him the hadith authentic in Musnad Ahmad, istafti nafsak, istafti kalbak. Ask your own heart, ask your own conscience, O Wabisa, wa in aftak al-muftun, wa in aftak al-nas. Even if the muftis and the ulama and the scholars said it's permissible, you must still ask your heart. Because Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows, as time progresses, people will be selling this deen of Islam. And therefore Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna akhwafa ma akhwafu alaykum ala himmatul mudillun. Authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad. The people I fear the most, are those ulama, those imams, those scholars, those sheikhs, those muftis who will be giving the wrong fatwas because they have a hidden agenda. The sponsors must not get upset. The public must not get upset. They want to build their fan base more and more supporters and so forth. So remember, that must never be the aim. The aim must be, قُلِ الْحَقَّ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرَّى. Speak the truth, even though the truth is that is what Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala an, authentic hadith in Mustafa.
Do you think that the dua?
Remember the manner, methodology of dua. So whether it be after salat, whether it is suhoor time, sehri time, whether it is iftar time, any other time, now you want to beg Almighty Allah and listen, O listener, to the usloob, the methodology, the style of the noble Quran. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 183, 184, 185, 187, speaks of Ramadan. You see, I must out one. Which one I must out? Chapter 2, verse 186. The beloved students, the companions, the Sahaba came, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabbuna qareebun, is our Allah very, very near? Then, fanunaji, we will just whisper, Amba'idun fanunadi, oh, is far, far away, we will shout and scream. So that was the question posed. Almighty Allah jalla wala revealed this verse, Surah 2 and verse 186. And remember before that the siyaq and the sabaq, that is the text and the context. Before that, after that, all Ramadan. In between, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants and slaves ask you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about me, inform them I'm very, very near. So near, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to their du'as and supplication when they petition and beg of me. So see, Allah is teaching us what is Ramadan? Shahrul Quran. Chapter 2, verse number 185. Shahrul Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. So Ramadan is Shahrul Quran, the month of Quran. What is Ramadan? Shahrul du'a, the month of du'a. Beg, petition, beseech Almighty Allah. Allah se mangna hai, Allah se manwana hai. Beg Allah, ya Allah, make decisions in our favor. Chapter 2, verse 186. Now we must learn the manner, method of making dua. Anytime you make dua, first, fahmadillah. You first praise Almighty Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah malaka shukru kullu. Allah malaka alhamdu kullu. Allah malaka almulku kullu. Whatever praises you know, so you praise Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala first. Thereafter, you read Durood Sharif, Salawat, Salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The one we recite in Salat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidun Majid. And then you petition Allah, you beg Allah for your needs, removing difficulties, and whatever challenges, problems there are. So first praise Allah, Jalla wa Ala, then salawat, salutation, then the dua, and then in the ending again, Durood Sharif, salawat, and then we conclude the dua. That is the proper manner, method of making dua. So we short-circuit the system sometimes. We just start with Durood Sharif, but we don't praise Allah. Or we praise Allah, then we don't read Durood Sharif. Or we read Durood Sharif, we read it only in the beginning, not in the ending. So both times read it, and inshallah, when you beg and petition Allah, then how should we do? Almighty Allah teaches us. Mustafa Rahmatul Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed us. Udhu Rabbakum Tadarru Awwa Khufya. Almighty Allah commands you, you call your sustainer, Radisha. With humility, wa khufya, and softly. There's no need to shout and scream. Second one, Tirmidhi Sharif Hadith, Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Idha sa'altumullah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. That when you beg and petition Allah, you yourself, O human being, O Muslim, O Muslimah, you must have firm conviction. My beloved Allah is responding to my du'as and supplications. And listen, this is for Ramadan and the other 11 months. Surah chapter 25, Surah Furqan, verse 77, the last verse of chapter 25. If we do, see, by human being, I tell you, give me this, give me this, give me this. After one day, 1 week, 1 month, you get fed up, you say, you better go now. So every day, $100, $1,000, so, by human being is direct opposite. By Allah, the more we ask, the more beloved we become. So, Almighty Allah mentions a warning to us. Chapter 25, verse 77. Qul ma ya'ba'u bikum rabbi lawla du'a'ukum. If you don't beg Almighty Allah, you don't ask of Allah, then Allah ku koi parwa nahi tumhara, then Allah is not bothered about you. And Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man lam yas'alillah yaghdab alayhi." When the person does not beg Allah, then Allah's wrath, anger descends on that person. So the hadith authentic, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. So each one of us daily, we are beggars and paupers. Raise our hand as a beggar and pauper. And then you beg Almighty Allah by praising Him, sending Durood Sharif Salawat and asking Allah Jalla wa Ala for our needs, in the ending Salawat Durood Sharif, and you conclude the du'a. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, not for the wine, MashaAllah for asking the question. Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. When you do not know, then you must ask the people who have knowledge. Mustafa Rahmatul Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Wa husnu su'ali nisful ilm." And half the, when you ask good questions, that is half the knowledge. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif. You like stories, I tell you a story. So one day I was invited to Mauritius. So the brothers there, the doctors up, and all of them, his family, I hope they are listening. They're 2 hours ahead of us. There it will be 5:15, not, yeah, 5:15, 5:20 there in Mauritius now, around that time. So I was invited, they took me to a posh hotel and so forth. So when we just entered the room, myself, my wife, I saw something big there. So I asked that chef there, that one, you know, that steward or whatever, that to usher you into the room and guide you. I asked him, what's all this? He said, champagne for you, sir. Champagne for you. I said, me, I'm not entering this room. You take everything away. He had a good big smile. He said that what? That he's going to take the champagne for himself and what have you. So you must remember that is Islam and Muslim. So you must tell them they must remove all these things there. We can't be sleeping in the room, staying in the room where there's alcohol, champagne, wine, whiskey, whatever. We don't know all the names and so forth. Remember what Quran Sharif taught us, chapter 5, verse number 90-91. Ritsum min amali shaitan. This alcohol, gambling is all nabak, impure. And the handiwork of shaitan, fajtanibu, you must abstain from it. La'allakum tuflihu. And what does this alcohol gambling do? That it causes baghda, it causes more hatred and enmity and animosity and so forth. Fahal antum muntahun, will you abstain and refrain? So the Muslim must stay far, far away. Two industries, Almighty Allah condemned from A to Z. So one is alcohol, and everybody related, connected to it, is cursed by Almighty Allah. Second is interest. Therefore, this capitalistic system can never work in Islam. The lifeline of it is interest, riba, sud, viaj, and all these things. So riba, so remember, you call it interest, usury, whatever, it's all haram, unacceptable. So Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith in Tirmidhi, man kana yu'minu, when you believe in Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and the last day, فَلَا يَجْلِسْ عَلَى مَعِدَةٍ تُدَارُ عَلَى الْخَمْرِ. You don't go and frequent the place where alcohol is served. We didn't even know all these things are like that. So, and you know, when you travel many places, that all the restaurants or hotels are like that. So anyway, you must remember that in the case of that. So you tell them, remove it. And you don't tell him he must take it. You just tell him, remove it. They do what they want to is their business. So he was just so elated, he's thinking of free champagne and so forth. So that happened to me. So my brother, you must tell them, take all these things away, and end of the story, what they do with it, that is their business. Let's give you both scenarios. Now we're going for about 3:30 almost in the afternoon, meaning it's still Sunday afternoon. So in a case like that, if the baby is born now, then seventh day will be Saturday, coming Saturday. If the baby is born at night, Sunday night, after Maghrib, after Isha, 9 o'clock, 10, 11, 12 o'clock, so that will be Islamically Monday already, because the night precedes the day. So then the seventh day will be Sunday. So that's how it works. Baby born Monday, seventh day is Sunday. Baby born Saturday, the seventh day will be Friday. So what you will do is the day the baby is born, Adhan in the right ear, Iqama in the left ear, and Tahniq, you take the dates and you insert in the baby's mouth. Mustafa, Rahmatul Alameen, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, put his Musaq Mubarak, his saliva Mubarak as well, into awwal mawludin fil Madina, the first baby that was born in Madina Munawwara to the Muhajireen, and that is Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu. So that also is a sunnah. A person is pious, he takes some of his saliva and puts it in the mouth and so forth of the baby. But normally we don't say that, we just say Adhan, Iqama, Tahniq. Then today the baby is born Sunday before Maghrib. So Saturday will be the seventh day. You shave the hair of the baby, boy or girl. And thereafter you take saffron, zafran, you mix it with water, apply it on the head of the baby. Hadith in Abu Dawood is a sunnah. People are unmindful of that. It's a boy, two goats or two sheep you slaughter. It's a girl, one goat or one sheep you slaughter. And you name the baby officially. You give out some charity. And mashallah, you make dua and so forth. So that is what Islam is teaching us regarding our flowers and our children, babies that are born. So it is a wonderful occasion. And now, husband, wife, don't fight. Today, somebody sent me a list of about 6-7 names. Say, please choose for us which name is nice. We want to give the daughter's name. So I went through all and I gave them the meanings and told them all are good names. But seeing that you're asking me, so I'll choose this one or this one and so forth. Give them 2-3 choices. And then husband, wife, try and reach consensus. You, the husbands, have some common sense. I know common sense is not so common nowadays. Your wife went through the 9 months. Your wife went through the labor. Your wife is breastfeeding. Tell her, oh honey, oh my darling, you choose the name. Jiska zar bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta. Keep a magnanimous heart and remember Allah will elevate you. You start fighting with your wife and telling her, no, we must keep this name and this. So already that marriage, the child came, supposed to be a happy occasion. Now the all the controversy, confusion started. So that is not the true way of a Muslim. Remember, your husbands, use your common sense also. MashaAllah, any day you can move into your new house, your new premises. Best is on a Wednesday. If somebody asks you, where is the dalil and evidence for Wednesday? Open al-maqasid al-hasana by Allama Sakhawi rahimahullah, Siddiqa bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. She encouraged the ummah that we start things on a Wednesday and so forth. So that is your reference. And if you want Hanafi fiqh, Allama Marghinani rahimahullah, they're all in Uzbekistan. When you go there, we visited there, subhanallah, it's a giant, you know, of knowledge. So when he used to start the academic lesson, on a Wednesday he used to start teaching, and we study our asatiza, our sheikhs, our ulama. They also used to start on a Wednesday. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, when we used to study in Darul Uloom. So they used to start Karachi, I'm speaking about Pakistan, they used to start on a Wednesday. He was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan. If you go to Jalalabad in those days, so Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib passed away in 76 Shawwal. Hazrat Imam Asiullah Khan Sahib Nawarullah Marqadahu passed away in 92. So remember in Jalalabad they should start the madrasa on a Wednesday. So that's why we say move into your house on a Wednesday, move to your shop Wednesday. It's not a must, but the sunnah is encouraged and so forth. Friday is Sayyidul Ayyam, the best day of the week. So mashallah, Quran Kareem speaks of it, Surah 62. Suratul Jumu'ah, verse number 10. You perform your Friday Salat, your Friday prayer. What should you do? فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Now your Salat is performed, then disperse on the land and sand and go and search for the grace of Allah. So Allah's special mercy comes down the time. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Remember Almighty Allah abundantly, profusely, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you will be successful and prosperous. Chapter 62, verse 10. Any day permissible, but preferred days will be Wednesday, Friday. Read Surah Baqarah. You move into new house, new shop, new warehouse. So what should you do? اقرأ سورة البقرة. Read Surah Baqarah, chapter 2. أطول سورة في القرآن. The longest chapter and surah of the noble Quran, 286 verses. فَإِنَّ أَخْذَهَا بَرَكَةً. Because when you recite it, it brings barakah, blessing. وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرًا. You don't read it, it's a cause and a source for regret and remorse of source. You know we say in our vernacular. وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَ. You bought a new car, you moved into a new house, new shop, new warehouse. It's not everybody is going to like it. You get the hasidin and the haqidin. The hasidin, those who are jealous. The haqidin, those whose hearts and minds are burning. Why have you got a new shop? Why you got a new house? Why you got a new warehouse? So Allah will protect you from these evil forces. Authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. Everything we have, but start practicing. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, mashallah, we have a huge demand now from all parts. Mashallah, we have decoders in stock in hundreds and thousands. So, inshallah, you can purchase them there from Markaz Sahaba Studio. Our Mawana Khalid Yaqub is there. Our brother Yusuf Mehter is there. Dawood Monli is there. So, mashallah, contact them. And inshallah, Hafsab, you can give the number. So, 031-001-3322. Is that correct, Hafsab? Right, 031-001-3322. You can contact them tomorrow, inshallah, after 8:30. And inshallah, if you want from here, Johannesburg, Lanesia, 011-854-2990. 011-854-2990. Our brother Suleiman is here after 8, inshallah, you can contact him. All for the Northern Natal listeners, mashallah, there in Newcastle, ladies, Dundee. Our respected Mawar Salim Karim is there, mashallah. So he has stocks as well, so you can purchase it directly from Mawar Salim Karim in Ladysmith, inshallah. And if you don't know, just send me a WhatsApp and we'll tell you that way you can purchase it from 071-888-1184. You know, it's just 8-9 days left now for Ramadan Mubarak. So purchase a whole box, mashallah, 10 units, 5,000 rand. And if you want 1-2 units, that is 600 rand per decoder. And an ideal gift, mashallah, for your friends, for your family, for your non-Muslim friends as well. And they can then, inshallah, listen to us 24/7. It can become a turning point in their life. In the morning, if you just listen, mashallah, between 5:15 and 5:45, how many non-Muslim listeners are posing questions? They're so interested in Islam from 5:15 to 5:45. So, mashallah, we have the stocks. And remember that, inshallah, it has various radio stations and you can listen to Markaz Sahaba and others as well. Not must you reject, must you not go. It's compulsory, you must not go. You see nowadays people, let us be honest, people invite us to perform nikah and so forth. So 90%, 80% of the time, we tell them, fine, if I'm available, we'll perform. But then they'll tell you the meals is here and there, this hall, this hotel, this place. So 90%, 80% we don't go. For this very reason, they will have so much intermingling there. Then they will have the videos there. And then sometimes they'll have music there. Sometimes worse than that, they'll have belly dancing there. All this in the name of Islam. They will tell you walima, they will tell you it's sunnah, or they will tell you no family ties. So family ties is important, so walima is important, but when you deliberately trample on the laws of the sharia, since when the music is permissible, I told you several times, anybody wants to know about music, and if you know Arabic, then read Sheikh Albani's work, Tahreemu Alatil Dharb. Their musical instruments are haram. So he gave me that book personally, alhamdulillah. Second one, read Mufti Shafi Sahib's book, you must remember. And that is Islam or Musiki. That's in Urdu, so Islam and music. If you don't know Arabic Urdu, then read English book, Slippery Stone. And he very, very nicely, the person wrote his brother Khalid Beg, B-A-I-G. So in that way there, you will find all the evidence and so forth. So you will see it is definitely either the music is there, either the intermingling, the videos are there, or you must have belly dancing. Each one of this is haram. So what are you talking of family ties and talking about sunnah of walima? We ourselves, instead of the woman wearing parda, you will see all the chairs got parda. So you will see that. The chairs are all dolled up, you know, and the roof is also dolled up. So you just look up. Say, no, the decor must be such, and that's my, Allah alone knows, I don't even know the names of all these things. So you must remember to go to a place where all these haram activities, definitely not permissible in Islam. Quran Kareem teaches us, chapter 17, verse 27, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That the people who squander their wealth, remember, they become brothers of shaitan. Yesterday, not yesterday, 2-3 days ago, I was chatting with my sister, you know. Every day I phone them, my two sisters. So, my dua for them also. So, then my sister told me, one of her friends or whatever told her, that she said, did you know, I hear your brother, he speak on the radio, and he say, go walima, just give out dates, just give out some fruit and all that. So simple, why must we make it such an extravagant affair? She say, for my son, for my dad, I'll do like that. So that's very good. So you must remember, Islam teaches us simplicity. Islam teaches us practicality. Everybody is not rich, majority of the ummah is poor. So how will they practice on the walima and so forth? So simple, you just give out dates, you give out some fruit, you give out some chocolate, whatever, and you make intention of walima, it's done, finished. But we must show off, man samma asamma Allahu bihi. When our intention is to show off, then you must remember Allah disgraces us in front of those people. Allah protects us. The authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Remember, I will just give you some broad principles, directives, and guidelines so you will then understand what Islam teaches us. Any food, any medication that enters through the mouth, that will nullify, break your fast. Any medication, any food that goes through your nostrils and nose, that will break your fast. Any medication that goes through the back passage, remember, you know, people with piles, they have to insert the suppositories and what have you. So Allah forbid, Allah protect us. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min sayyi al-asqam. Ya Allah, protect us from all the dreaded evil diseases. Authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and Sunan Nasai. So that will nullify the fast. Then for the ladies only, so you must remember that if you go for internal checkup and apparatus and what have you, I inserted in the front passage of the lady only. So remember, that will nullify and break the fast. Now let's take the example you gave. People are suffering from asthma and what have you. They use the asthma pump. Oh, you must, they got a nasal spray. Oh, they use this and that and what have you. So all this will be considered as medication. And remember, through the nostrils or through the mouth or wherever. So all that, then the fast will break, you must remember. But if you put eye drops and so forth, then remember the fast is valid and the fast will be no impact on the fast. The fast will be valid with high dose. Yes, 100%. Remember you, the men, you should go to those masjid where they are reading 20 rakats Taraweeh and where they are completing Quran. Don't go to those masajid and so forth where they are reading 8 rakats or 10 rakats or where they are reading, you must remember, just, you know, from anywhere, they're not going to complete the Quran Sharif. You know it's winter, so now the days are now short, the nights are long. You've got no excuse. Don't look for loopholes. Fasting is a duty. Tilawatul Quran, recitation of the Quran is the beauty of Ramadan. Today I was just reading about Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad Rahimahullah. Who can forget him? SubhanAllah. At the age of 10, you must remember that he became a Hafiz. Then he went to learn Qiraat and become a master in that field. It took him 15 years approximately to do that. And then from the age of 25 or so, for the next, how many years then? 35 years or so, he passed away at the age of 61. So lo and behold, that he read the Quran every way one can say in the world. And he came, I met him in South Africa. And if any one of you got that recording, subhanAllah, then we will really appreciate it. It was 1982. I went to Ladysmith and that day he didn't read, he said he's sick. Then I said, weekend, he said it's in Mountain Rise Day in the Maritzburg, from where we will be taking the Taraweeh this year, inshallah, as Hafiz Wadi announced. So in 82 he read there. And the masjid was packed to capacity. And subhanAllah, that if somebody has the recording, please, you know, we'll really appreciate it. We'll play it live also. Play it, I mean, here on the radio also. So, you see, go to a masjid where people are reading the entire Quran Sharif. And remember, don't look for loopholes and so forth. Then for you ladies, you read at home. You can't manage reading 10 times 2. Then two rakats, you make salam. Then read 5 times 4. How you read the sunnahs of your Zuhr salat. So you read 2 rakats, then you did it tashahud, then you stand up for the 3rd and 4th rakat. So you read the Taraweeh like that, 4 rakats, 5 times, so that is fine. Especially for the ladies of the Hanafi school. The other school, they don't allow it. Shafi's, Ambalis, and them, they say no. Even the woman, they must read 2. Salatul Layli, Masna. So the hadith in Tirmidhi. So anyway, you, the Hanafi ladies, you can read in 4s, but 1 proviso. After 2 rakats, you must sit for the duration of the shahud and tahiyyat and you recite it, and then you stand up for the 3rd rakat. If you're old and sickly, you can't manage standing up, and you are reading your salat sitting, then you just go to the 3rd rakat and you continue. So after 4 rakats, you will be making salam, and the men will be making salam after every 2 rakats. So yes, it is. Alhamdulillah, we must remember we belong to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we say when our father, mother, brother, sister, whoever passed away, male, female, and they passed away with Iman and Islam. So in a case like that, what we will do is this. First, we will make dua for them. So everybody agrees on that. Chapter 14, that is Surah Ibrahim, verse 41, Rabbana filli wa liwalidayhi. Chapter 59, verse 10, رَبَّنَا فِي لَنَا وَلِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِمَانِ. Second one, give out charity on their behalf, voluntary charity, whether in cash or in kind. You go to the masjid, there's a lilla box, they put 1 rand, 2 rand, 5 rand, 10 rand. You see a beggar somewhere, non-Muslim, give him 2 rand, 5 rand, whatever. You give him a loaf of bread, packet of biscuits, so you make intention, all fine. So there's the second one. Third one, tilawatul Qur'an. Remember, according to all 4 schools, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanafi's, Hanbali's, totally permissible. Any Mufti, any Salafi, any person say, no, we reject them, Kain and Mankan. So the hadith is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, is mentioned in Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Iqra Yasin ala Mu'taku, Kitab al-Ruh of Ibn Qayyim, page 17, there also is mentioned that it's permissible. The incident of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So remember that that is the third one. First dua, charity, tilawat al-Quran. Then any voluntary action. Tomorrow is Monday, so to fast is sunnah. Your habit is you love to fast on Monday, Thursday, so you fast. You make intention, dear Allah, that this fast, I want the reward to go to my deceased parents, grandparents, the entire ummah of Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, after the Q&A, you read your 4 rakat sunnah of Asr, then you read 2 rakat nafil, and you say, oh, you read 2 rakat tafil first, and thereafter 4 sunnah, and you must, anyway you can do it, and then you say that the reward must go to this one, that one, permissible, and then you read your 4 rakat asr first. So all these are flexible issues. So yes, that would be permissible. You must remember that Janaza Salat will only be managed to Hillah, so whosoever was born and there was life. So once there is life, the child lived for a few hours, few days, few weeks and passed away, then we will have Janaza Salat, the funeral prayer, and before that the bathing, the kafan, the shroud and so forth. But if the baby was born and is still born, after 20 weeks, 24 weeks or whatever the case might be, so there is no Salatul Janaza, there is no real shrouding, no ghusl. You just put some water, you just wrap up the baby in 1 piece of cloth and bury the baby in the graveyard. You can name the baby if you want, but there is no Salatul Janaza. So therefore, we should be very clear on this issue here. When there's life and the signs of life, the child cried and so forth and so on, and then after a few hours or a few days passed away, then there will be Janaza Salat. So you must remember, if this lady passed away, and she, let's just repeat the age properly so we don't have any confusion. So the way I understood it is, she, a lady, passed away. She left her husband and she had two brothers, no children. So then it's very straightforward in that. So if the lady passed away and she has a husband and there's no children, the husband will then inherit 50%. And then if she has her own two brothers, then there's nobody else, there's no parents, there's no children, then the remaining 50%, 25% to the two brothers, simple it will be. But remember, that will be the last step. First will be the burial, funeral expenses. Second will be the debts of the deceased, the business debts or the personal debts, corporate debts. Third one was siya for non-heirs, and that must be implemented up to one-third of the net estate and fourth of the shares of the heirs. So if this are what is correctly mentioned, then wife passed away, survived by husband and two brothers, no parents, no children, then husband 50% and the two brothers 25%. The blame is with the parents. Remember that from the young age, the parents don't emphasize what is shame, what is morality, modesty, all that. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in chapter 66, verse 6, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Ey iman walo, O you believe, save yourself and save your children from the fire. So what this means? We have to teach them iman, we have to teach them Islam, teach them haya, shame and modesty. The normal excuse you will get, no, he's just young, 8 years old, 6 years old, let the girl run around without hijab, without, the ladies today don't wear hijab, they want you to speak, so many of them, they run around with just a dress or a madras, no hijab, no trouser, nothing. And then you must remember, they put the hijab in a musalla. Salat time come, they put the hijab on, and after salam, hijab out, back in the musalla. So how's that now? So you must remember that that is for the daughters as well. So we need to teach them the haya, the shame. And now they grow up, they 12, 15, 18, they say, no, we want to enjoy life. Now what you want to come and tell us all this? So remember, Mustafa, rahmatul alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyya. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Each one of you is a shepherd, and each one of you will be questioned regarding your flock. The easy way to solve this problem, start tonight. You must remember, after Maghrib, after Isha, we near Ramadan, 8-9 days. So start with Fadail Ramadan, every day one hadith, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya, Nawarallah, Marqadahu's work. You, the parents, cry to Allah, Ya Allah, Surah 46. Chapter 46, verse 15, 1-5, Waslih li fi dhurriyati. O Almighty Allah, bring about reform, piety in my progeny and children. Then they say, no, it's very hot, you know. We can't wait this kind. As though summer only came to us. It never came to our fathers and grandparents and grandmothers. So all these feeble, feeble excuses. Then we start wondering why our daughter ran away from home. How come she ran away with a non-Muslim? But the haya was gone. Once the haya shame is gone, the next thing that it will erode and remove is the haya goes, the shame and modesty. Then next one is iman. Who said so? Habibuna rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innal iman wal haya akuranahu jamia. That iman, faith, conviction, and haya, shame and modesty are two partners together. Idha rufiya ahaduma. So remember that when one disappears, then the next one will disappear. Hadith in Bayhaqi Mishkat Sharif. So therefore, O parents, you must instill and inculcate within yourself and your children, remember this quality of shame, modesty. But the TV is in every bedroom. The TV, you got 3, 4, 5 in the house, and what they are showing. Everything to erode the iman and to steal the haya and shame. Therefore, we brought the shaitan right inside the house. So think properly what we are doing. May Allah guide us. Yeah. Yes, you must remember, sister, you are performing wudu, you are performing salat, and you have your bangles, your necklace, your all these things here on. So it's permissible, and your salat will be valid. However, if you are reading and performing salat, and you know there are strange men there, then you must be very careful. You must remember that when you are performing your wudu, that they can't see your face, they can't see your hair on your head and your body and so forth. So sometimes our women want to do good action, perform wudu ablution, but they perform the wudu in such a place where the men can see them, the strange men. How can that be acceptable? Not permissible then. Second one, you have to read salat. So remember that. Again, you must look for such a place that if you are with the ladies, you got your bangle and your necklace and all these things on, is fine. But now you are standing in front of the men and they can see your whole body, they can see all your necklace, you can see your bangles, they can see this, all these things here, then that is not acceptable then. So you must cover your face, cover your body properly. And so, by the way, then if somebody sees, you must remember your jewelry, that's secondary then. But deliberately, you must not be showing them and exposing your beauty to all and sundry the strange. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today, three nasiha. Let's repeat that again. We know we're entering the last week now of Shaaban. Those brothers, sisters who have qadha, keep the qadha. Those who are up to date, mashallah, and you have the habit of fasting Mondays and Thursdays, continue with that. Those who don't have qadha and don't have a habit, you must remember, of fasting on Mondays, Thursdays, then this week here, then better for you, not compulsory, but better, advisable, desirable, you don't fast, so you dance, preserve your energy, and inshallah, when Ramadan Mubarak starts, then mashallah, we are well prepared, we have the energy, stamina, to give it the best, inshallah. That's number one. Number two, you, my hafiz, my brother, my son, you are going to perform Taraweeh once again. I appeal to you, humble appeal, contact your teachers, contact your parents, wherever you are, and beg them to make special dua, because you're going to be the imam. So it's not a joke to stand there. So people think it's just easy. So it's very, very big responsibility. So inshallah, prepare properly, and don't try and impress the people or read fast. Sometimes in lanes and all that, they say, go to this masjid, that masjid. You say, why? They say that Maulana, that imam is a Ferrari. He's a move like a Ferrari. So imagine if the people are saying that, just up, down, but you kiss the ground, back to town. So what Taraweeh is that? So that's not good that. Then our ruku, sajda, everything is compromised. See, I tell you one mistake. 90%, 80% of the imams make while they are reading Taraweeh. Now, you see, sometimes you learn maslas to practice on. And sometimes people learn the masla, the fatwa, the verdict to look for loopholes. So when they are sitting after the two rakats, the two units, then they'll read the shahud and they'll just say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and make salam. So they won't read the complete durood sharif. They won't read the dua because they want to impress people how fast they read the salat. So remember that type of salat, Allah protect us, it can come back in our face and reject it. So read the complete durood sharif, read the dua. Don't worry about people. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Swallu kama ra'aytumuni uswalli. Perform your salat as you see me performing the salat, the hadith in Bukhari sharif. Third one, remember that the plight of the ummah, you know China, you know Burma, you know Palestine, Syria, Yemen. Yeah, if you just go across our border, northern Mozambique. So remember this ISIS and Daesh and Shabab and this one and that one, Boko Haram. All of them are agents of the West. They got nothing to do with Islam. They are paid agents to demonize Islam and the Muslims, Allah forbid. So we must be clear in exposing all these things to them. So make dua to the Ummah for them. Okay, next up, inshallah, we listen to Hafiz Yusuf Kala. And then, inshallah, the Asr Adhan. And thereafter, the importance of Ramadan in Urdu, Mufti Tariq Masood. And thereafter, at 5 o'clock, take Islam to all Sheikh Ahmad Didat. Then Maghrib Salat, the Azan at 6 o'clock, thereafter the Surahs. 7 o'clock, emigration and immigration, and then 8 o'clock, the legal talk, that is, mashallah, our brother Shafa'at and attorney Ashraf Yasop. And thereafter, 9 o'clock will be the Azan, and then Mawlana Suleiman Ghatani. And then at 10 o'clock, our Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki, and inshallah, he continues with his discourses. 11 o'clock, Qiyamah is a reality, by Mawlana Dawood Siddharth. So wonderful programs, make dua for us and the Ummah at large. My brother Lukolo is here. He will prepare, inshallah, all the podcasts, and within the hour, we will try and send it out to you. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.